Fear, Trust, Faith by Brother Lauren, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers this morning. I'm so thankful for you. If we didn't have you, we literally wouldn't be here. So that's a good thing. Wow. So to just jump right into it, I want to talk about fear, trust, and faith. Seems like I'm always talking about that, but it's something that all of us probably battle at some level, fear. And the enemy tries to use that and magnify it. And he's a liar, just like my wife told me yesterday. Because yesterday I was going through something, I was getting attacked, and immediately I start fearing, you know. I was feeling really bad, and it was just a battle. It was more than just a physical thing, it was a battle, right? So I start telling her, oh my God, I don't know about tomorrow. I started really just in fear, you know. I'm 61 years old, and I'm still battling it. But that's okay, because he's with me. So that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what we go through, it's that he's with us. And he'll never leave us or forsake us, you know. And the enemy's lies all the time are lies. That's just exactly what they are. And I started going through it yesterday, and I'm rocking and reeling. I'm like, oh God, you know, the battle is what it is, whatever it is for you, you know. But you just got to stand in it and stand in faith and learn how to stand in faith and learn how to trust in God. I'm 61 years old. I still have trouble trusting God, you know. How dare you? How can you say that you don't trust in the living God that has saved you? Yes, I struggle with doubt. Remember Thomas in the Bible, Doubting Thomas? So we probably all do at some level, you know? And so I started yesterday, it was hitting me after I talked to you. You came over to work and I got home and man, I was just like, wow. And start talking to her. She goes, devil's a liar. Just straight. She just had it. And so she went and laid down, and basically, you know, I was just reminded of a lot of the women in the Bible that speak wisdom to their husbands. And in a very nice way, she just told me to go lay down and get with God, basically. And she was laying down, she goes, I'm hearing the word dispel. Dispel. And she goes, I never say that word. I'm hearing dispel. And then I was trying to calm down, and then I had just got off work not too long before that. So I was going to go and lay down, and I was really exhausted, you know. And she goes, he's calling you to it. And so that just hit me like, wow, really hard. He's calling me to it. So that kind of gave me courage, like the battle's on, so lean into it, you know. Whatever it is, we can't run in fear. We have to face it. Whatever it is, stand up and face it. And have some faith, you know. Where's our faith at? And I know that God allows things to test us. That's why it happened. It's not, see, the lie of the enemy is that God left you, and he's left you because you did something to make him mad, you did something wrong. It's all those lies. But no, he's allowing you to go through it for your growth. You know, the testing of our faith produces, what is that? How does that scripture go? The testing of our faith produces patience, I think is what it says. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. But yeah, anyway, so I lay in bed and I was looking up, what does the word dispel mean? So biblically. And so thank God for Google, because I didn't have time to just sit there in the Bible. I was just like out of it. So I Googled it, and the biblical text, it says in biblical context, dispel means to drive away, scatter, or cause to vanish. Often referring to God or his truth, removing darkness, fear, doubt, or evil. It symbolizes the active, powerful removal of spiritual or emotional gloom. Sometimes we go through that valley of the shadow of death, you know, by the presence of light, truth, or divine action. And so that's a powerful word, you know. It's kind of like a purging. He wants us to deal with whatever it is. See, Satan's got an assignment against you because he knows what your weaknesses are and what you fear, which fear is just like the biggest thing, one of the biggest things to me. And so, He's got an assignment out for you, but God called you to conquer that very thing that you're struggling with. So we can't miss it by saying, oh my God, I've done. You know, I was raised up in a lot of religion. I've been to a lot of different churches through my life, a lot. But I was raised in, probably a lot of us were, in religion. I mean, a spirit of religion is like the worst thing, because that points the finger and accuses you all the time and tries to manipulate you all the time. So we can't operate in religion. We have to operate in the relationship we have with God. God's not mad at us. He's not, you know, accusing us and condemning us. He's allowing us to go through things to grow. And that, you know, if we didn't have a challenge, then there'd be nothing to do, right? It's like, oh my God, I got to battle again. Well, great, you know, conquer it. God's given us the strength and He's with us, you know, so that's a good thing, you know. So I think we have to change our perspective of what is going on in our lives, and first have the foundation of, I trust God. That's what He's dealing with me right now. He's probably dealing with all of us at some point, to trust Him. And I was reminded yesterday of when I was a little boy, just a little kid. I was probably 5 or something, and raised in the Baptist church in San Dimas, California. And my pastor called me up one day, and he took me and he set me on this little bit of a higher thing, set me right there, and he goes, now come on, he goes, jump. And I wouldn't do it. I was reminded of that yesterday. I didn't trust him. You know, and so that keeps coming back to me through the years. I mean, in front of everybody. And I was, you know, usually a kid will do that, but I just didn't trust him for some reason. That was my pastor. This is a big man. He can catch me, you know. I didn't trust him. And God's still saying to me today, do you trust me? Will you trust me? Because if I trust him, then I can grow in my faith. If I don't trust him, I'm going to be struggling all the time. So we've got to develop that trust and develop our faith. On the other flip side of that is fear. I don't want to develop my fear. I want to develop my faith. Because if I'm in fear all the time, you're constantly running. Just like, what prophet was that was running from Jezebel? Running in fear for his life because he was afraid of the witch, you know? And I can't live my life. We can't live our lives that way, because you're not getting anywhere. You're spinning your wheels. So thank God for that, you know? So the key biblical themes of dispel, it's got some bullet points here. Light, dispel, darkness. The most common usage relates to God's light overcoming darkness or ignorance or sin, such as John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, you know, it can't. Mm-mm. You can let it torture you, and you can be a tormented Christian your whole life and not get victories. I want victories. He's called us he's trained us for battle, for war. And he's given us the victory, really. All we got to do is be obedient. Doesn't that sound simple? But it's not. It sounds easy, but it's not. But it's okay, because you go from glory to glory, you know, with every challenge. Removing fear and doubt. The presence of God or the truth of his word is described as that which dispels anxiety and uncertainty. Like yesterday, if I'm dealing with a physical ailment or something, I'm trying, do you ever do this? I'm guessing, well, maybe it's allergies, or, oh gosh, maybe it's a medication. It's just tormenting. And it's like God wants to remove that uncertainty and remove that anxiety. See, if there's uncertainty, you don't have kind of a foundation. You're going to be anxious and full of fear. I don't want that. I can't live like that. Divine action. Dispel often implies a forceful, definitive action by God to eradicate negative forces. We got unseen forces here, right? It's not just your neighbor that's a jerk, or it's not just your whoever that you're battling. We're not battling flesh and blood. We're battling principalities that we can't see. Yeah. So, definitive action by God to eradicate negative forces, as in scattering the wicked or dissipating the works of darkness. Biblical examples and related imagery. Genesis 1:3-4, God's creation of light serves to divide and banish the darkness, establishing the pattern for his power. John 8:12 tells us Jesus defines himself as the light of the world, capable of leading the people out of darkness. Mm-hmm. Prophetic texts, the concept is used to describe God dispelling or scattering threats to his people, that's us, and restoring them. So as we stand and we're obedient to God, he restores us. And we go through a valley and then we go to the mountaintop. Life is just like that, you know, it's always. So we need to just get used to that battle, but have peace in the battle. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what faith is all about. That's what trusting God is all about. Because if you're not trusting him and you don't have your faith built, you're not going to dwell in peace. You're going to be really scattered. And that's a miserable way to live, you know. You can be saved, but who wants to be just saved? I want to be like enjoying this life and telling others about what God has done for me. So that's why I think he calls us more than conquerors, especially when we're obedient to what he tells us to do. And every time I ask, you know, pastor asked me to come speak, you know, and God asks you to come do something, and you've got like, oh God, I don't want to do that, you know, I don't want to do it. And our flesh immediately does not want to be obedient to God. Have you ever noticed that? You can hear God say something, boom, and your flesh is instantly resisting. Well, this is the thing we really got to conquer, is our own flesh. As we do that, man, it just is easier. If I can get me out of the way, it is so much easier. Oh my gosh, fighting with this thing all the time. So I just want to read one chapter today. And you can turn with me there if you want. And you've probably heard this one. And my wife and I was dwelling on this, I guess, a week ago or something, and just dwelling in it. And I love this scripture. This one of my very favorites, and it's Psalms 91. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." There's your relationship with God, dwelling in him. Daily prayer. Just take some time with him. You don't have to spend 10 hours reading the Bible or just, you know, just take some time with God and we're enter into his. What was that thing we heard this morning? Enter into the throne room and spend time.
Throne zone.
The throne zone. Get in the throne zone and get some time with God, and then your day is going to be better. No, you know what? I'm going to switch this one. Where's that other one? That's a good one, too. I was going to read that today, but I'm just reading this one. Psalms 23. "The Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." You know, sometimes God has to make you lay down. We were soaking on this whole chapter, and I just memorized that whole chapter. I was just walking around the house memorizing this, getting it in my spirit. She's been going through things, so she's laying in bed, and I'm just feeling so sorry for her. I'm like, oh God, she's going through this, and I'm praying for her, and she's just laying there, and she starts laughing. She's just laughing. I could see her belly laugh. She's laughing, and she goes, "God's making me lay down." And it was so funny. It just got me so good. He's making me lay down. That's what I had to do last night. I had to lay down. I was nervous. I was in fear. I was walking around. And she said, go lay down and talk to God, you know? So sometimes he makes you lay down. And that's a good place to be, because you need to calm yourself down, focus, and concentrate on the God that you serve, you know, the God, your Father, that loves you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That speaks of peace to me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's that word again, fear. I will fear no evil. I just repeat that now. If I'm going through something, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. He's with me. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what a rod and a staff is? A rod and a staff is like a walking cane. And that's a rod and a staff. A staff, you know, if you're in your walking, you can lean against it. That's God, and that's his word. We can lean on him. A rod is something that protects from, say, wolves, you know. So a rod and a staff are that's really significant. God showed me that. And yeah, we need to lean on him. And he's also our protection. And as we read this, we have a weapon, you know, to keep away the wolves that are trying to devour you, you know. So let's see here. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. Isn't that good? Right in the midst of all the people that may hate you, or really beyond that, the principalities that you can feel, the daggers and the darkness. God says here, just sit at this table and dine right in the middle of it. That speaks to me of peace when you're going through a battle. You know you're in the battle. But when you think about this, it's like, oh, he's right here with me. And these, they don't even know what's going on. So I'm going to dine with him right in the middle of my battle. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days. Not some of the days, maybe part of the day. All the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means I'm saved, and I'm not going to hell like the devil wants to tell you. Oh, you're going to hell because God, you just, God, you know, he can't do nothing with you. You're coming with me is what I tell you. No, it says right here, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, no worries, I'm not afraid of you, bully. So that's what I have for today, and I just hope that brings you some peace and some strength and some, put your armor on and get in a fight, you know.
Amen.
And it could be a little thing, you'd just be sitting there praying or something, you know. You don't have to go conquer the whole world, just conquer this right here. And be obedient. That's the main thing. When I say yes to the Lord, I'm saying no to Lauren. I'm saying no to the flesh, and I'm saying yes to God. And it doesn't matter how hard it is, how good or how not so good you did on this test. It's like I told you before. Today's my first day of school. How am I going to do? You know, I'm going to do my best. And he's not grading you on how well you did. It's just that you did it. It's just that you said yes to him. That you are willing to be obedient and put your flesh aside and say yes to him, because he's got something for us to do, and that will be until we go to be with him. So thank you for listening today. Love you all. Amen.